If you have God's word with you, please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. We'll be taking a quick little break from 1 Samuel before we turn to a new section to the life of David. And because last week we were so heavy on Saul's false conversion or false repentance, we can say, we will turn to an account of someone who had a true conversion and true repentance and true faith. So Mark 10, 46 to 52. Let me read these verses to you. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." And so they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have revealed yourself and the way of salvation to us in your holy and inerrant word. We pray, O God, that as your word is now being expounded to us, that you would pour a generous portion of your Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, the breath of understanding, so that by the hearing of your word, you would revive us and you would establish our feet towards the path of righteousness and towards the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in your Son's most precious name. Amen. One of the most popular Christian hymns of all time is "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." It is one of our cherished hymns that we sing around here. I bet everybody knows the first line of it too, right? "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." It was written by a man named John Newton in 1779. And he wrote this song from his own personal experience. He tells a story of his own salvation in this song. And God's grace began in Newton's life through his mother, who died when John was just a child, but not before she had given him some Christian training. But like most young people, he gave up his mother's Christian teaching, and he went down into a path of sin and rebellion against God. And when he got older, he became a captain of a ship that traded slaves. And one day, while on the ship, this violent storm came upon the ship that was so rough and that it threw overboard a crew member who had been standing at the exact place where Newton were moments before. See, God spared his life. And while steering his ship through a violent storm, John Newton experienced what he called his great deliverance. He recorded in his journal that when all seemed lost and the ship would surely sink, he said, "I prayed, Lord, have mercy upon us." And God answered that prayer. And as he sat in his cabin, John became convinced that it was by God's grace that got him through. Well, there's another story like John Newton's in the Bible where he would have surely sung, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Only in this man's case, this man was not only spiritually blind, he was physically blind as well. And by God's grace alone did this blind beggar receive 20/20 spiritual vision. Now, this event in the life of our Lord is not only well known to us, but is also loved by every one of his disciples. It is certainly one of my favorite accounts in the Gospels. The healing of this blind beggar is unique in the New Testament for the warmth of its tone, but also for the fact that this is the only person healed by Christ in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke whose actual name is recorded for us. His name is Bartimaeus. Only Mark recorded his name. Scholars say that his name was probably preserved and recorded Because Bartimaeus was known in the early church in Jerusalem as a prominent leader. In Mark's gospel, this is the last miracle healing by Jesus. And out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, Mark is the most vivid. The vividness of this account, the details suggest that someone was there watching this very thing happen. And Mark's gospel most likely was the eyewitness of the Apostle Peter. It was an event that left an indelible impression on Peter, and thus the minute details of this account. Now, as I go through this story in Mark's gospel, what I want to do tonight is I want to point out five distinguishing marks of the kind of faith that we need to be saved from our sins and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. From my years of pastoral experience, I've learned that it's foolish to assume that every person that I encounter at church is a true Christian. Just because you say you're a true Christian doesn't make it so. So I want to accomplish two things tonight in this sermon. First of all, if you are a professing Christian, that is, someone who openly says that I am a Christian, I want you to evaluate your life to see if your salvation testimony of faith matches that of this blind beggar salvation story. Because it's easy to say I'm a Christian, but to be a real, authentic Christian is a whole different story. And your salvation story might not be exactly identical to this blind beggar's conversion, but all of the elements of faith should all be there. And the second thing I want to accomplish tonight in the sermon are for those who have yet come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know who you are in this room. You might be here interested, seeking for answers. You might be completely disinterested and jaded by the whole Christian experience. Or you might be among those who grew up in the church, but you know in your heart of hearts that you've never truly trusted in Jesus Christ. Whoever you may be here, I want you through this powerful story, I want you to come to faith and plead with you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So, five marks of a true Christian faith. Number one, an insightful faith. An insightful faith. This is obviously the first mark of faith because we can only put our faith in someone we know to be trustworthy or faithworthy. Now let's observe how the story begins in verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. They included Jesus, his disciples, and a great crowd. But notice how quickly Jesus visited Jericho. The very next phrase, the text says, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd. In other words, Jesus was merely passing through Jericho. And back in verse 32, Mark tells us why he was passing through Jericho. He tells us on verse 32, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And verse 33 tells us why Jesus was headed there. Jesus said, behold, we are going to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. Here, we are told that Jesus was on a mission to be the sin bearer of the world. And Jerusalem is the destination where Jesus will accomplish his mission. Jericho then was a passing point simply for Jesus to get to his ultimate destination in Jerusalem to die upon the cross. The crucifixion was very heavy on Jesus' heart. Now we must try to visualize the scene. For Jesus, the end of the road was not far away. Jericho was only up 15 miles from Jerusalem, the main road that ran through Jericho. Jesus was on his way to the Passover, and as Jesus came into Jericho, he was in a company of a large crowd as masses of pilgrims were making their way up to Jerusalem for the Passover. But as Jesus is about to leave Jericho, he is met by Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus is introduced in this story as a blind beggar. This poor man was plagued with two great evils, blindness and poverty. Bartimaeus was completely blind. Imagine that for a second. When his mother smiled a note of encouragement, he couldn't see it. When there was a pile of manure in his path, He could not see to step across it. He could not see the ditch. He could not see the mud or the angry dog. And when the night sky above Jericho was bright with millions of stars, it was all darkness to him. That was the world he lived in. And the Bible tells us that is the world by who everyone lives in who does not know the living God, a world of utter blackness. Tell them about Jesus. They can't see the preciousness and the attractiveness of him. Bring them to a church service like this with men and women singing, and it appears strange to them. Unbelievers are blind because the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us. You see, physically, they can see. But spiritually, they are blind. They are unable to see their lost condition. They are unable to see the blackness of their sins. They're unable to see the terrors of the wrath to come. They are blind in that sin is more attractive to them than Jesus Christ. They are blind until Jesus opens their eyes. Without Christ, we are all blind. But besides being blind, Bartimaeus was also dirt poor. Bartimaeus was totally dependent upon the generosity of others in order to survive. R.C. Sproul tells a story of when he was a doctoral student in Holland, how he traveled into Amsterdam by train. Passengers leaving Central Station in Amsterdam must cross a bridge that leads into the downtown area. He said, "Every time I went over that bridge, I passed a blind man who had his hat on the sidewalk to receive alms." And then he said, "When I left Holland, I did not return for 4 years. But when I finally did go back and walked out of Central Station on my way into the city, that same blind man was still there collecting alms." A few years later, he said, "A friend from Holland sent me a book that contained photographs of Amsterdam. And one of the photos featured the bridge to Central Station, and there was that man on the bridge." He said that the constant sight of that man over a long period of time gave him a sense of the helplessness of those who are blind and must beg for their sustenance. And so if people who passed by Bartimaeus did not give him money or food for that day, he wouldn't eat. He had to beg for pennies to survive. He had to depend on listening for the approaching footsteps of people so that he could cry out to them for money or food. So all Bartimaeus could do was beg and hope that he would have food for that day. And like Bartimaeus, you see, sinners also are spiritually poor. Without Christ in our lives, we are spiritually bankrupt. And like Bartimaeus, we can do nothing or have nothing in ourselves that can earn salvation. Friends, coming to church doesn't earn us salvation. Giving offerings, serving at church doesn't make us a Christian. Good morality, ethical integrity doesn't earn eternal life. In our spiritual bank account, we are bankrupt. Even worse, we are in debt. We have incurred an infinite amount of debt to an infinite holy God. And so here's the important truth we need to realize. Bartimaeus is a picture of ourselves. We are all by nature blind and poor. And so look around in this room. Look at the person on your right and on your left. There are a bunch of blind beggars here. There are poor, pitiful, blind beggars sitting by the roadside begging. But the difference between Bartimaeus and some of you here today is that Bartimaeus recognized his pitiful condition. The reason why the religious leaders of Jesus' day never got saved was because they were proud, self-righteous know-it-alls. They were never convinced of the disease of their own souls. They never sufficiently understood the gravity of their sin and offense to God. They never bowed their knee to Jesus Christ, and so they disqualified themselves for the one thing that was necessary to be saved. For our Lord Jesus often says in the Gospels, "For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, sinners to repentance." And until a man or a woman sees that they are pitiful like blind beggars, there is no hope of salvation for him or for her. Now, even though Bartimaeus was blind, he was able to see things that others around him who had physical vision could not see. To say it another way, what Bartimaeus lacks in eyesight, he makes up for in insight. Not only did Bartimaeus have an insightful faith in his own pitiful condition, he also had this penetrating insight into the person of Jesus Christ. He had what we call faith. But where did he get that faith? Now, we're not told how Bartimaeus came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but I think we can make a fairly good guess. You see, since Bartimaeus was blind, it is obvious that he didn't believe in what he saw. And because he was blind, he didn't have the opportunity, like others, to follow Jesus on his journey and witness all of his wonderful miracles. He most likely stayed near his home and could not travel very far. And I think Bartimaeus probably had his spot by the main road, where many people would travel back and forth, and it would give him the best opportunity to beg for money and for food. Jericho would have been the ideal place for any beggar because it was the main road that led to Jerusalem, and so there was a steady traffic passing through the city. Now, if you were blind, you would have a lot of time to think since you would not have visual distractions. Well, as Bartimaeus sat there, we could imagine he would hear the passers talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And Bartimaeus would have surely asked them to tell them a story about Jesus. Who is he? Where did he come from? How does he perform miracles? From what power and authority does he perform them? And everyone had a cousin, everyone had a friend of a friend whose life had been healed and transformed by Jesus. And Bartimaeus heard all this with this keen sense of hearing. And they would tell him how Jesus raised the dead. They would tell him how he healed the leper. And Bartimaeus would say, you know, I wonder if he could give sight to the blind. And one day, Bartimaeus would hear the story that Jesus had restored the sight of a man who had been born blind. And you have to realize that in those days, this was probably the greatest story talked about in those days. Never had a man who was born blind had his eyes open. And never was there someone who had the power to open a blind man's eyes. And if there were Facebook and Twitter in those days, it probably would have blown up. I think Bartimaeus hears this story. And his heart is pounding, he's clapping his hands, and he cries, then there is yet hope for me. Maybe if Jesus of Nazareth passes by this way, I will cry out to him. I will beg him to open my eyes. And so day in and day out, as he sat there by the roadside, he would call those passing by and he would say, come and tell me that sweet story of Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind. Tell it to me. He probably heard the same story over 100 times. It was his favorite story. And always there would be a smile on the poor beggar's face when he heard it. It never could be told too often because he loved to hear it. He held it dear to his heart and dreamed of the chance of meeting Jesus of Nazareth. Now we too were not allowed to see Jesus with our physical eyes. But we have heard the report of his power. We have heard the report of his grace and his willingness to save in the gospel. And so I want to speak to you unbelievers very directly. How is it that you have still not believed in Jesus Christ? How many times have you heard the greatest story that Jesus died for sinners and still haven't given your life to him? How many times have you listened to the gospel message that Christ bled for you, that he laid his life down for you, that he did this out of his love for you, and yet you still refuse to come to Christ? How long will you wait? See, Bartimaeus could not wait for that day to meet Jesus because he had an insightful faith. But there's a second mark of faith, a desperate faith. Bartimaeus was in his normal spot on the main road in the city of Jericho. And as Luke tells us, Bartimaeus heard a crowd going by and a trampling of the foot surely got his attention. Luke tells us that he asked someone nearby, what's happening? Why all this commotion? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Oh, what joy must have leaped into his heart. Those little words, Jesus is passing by, heightened his little faith to full strength. Those words were enough for him. unbelief would have said, oh, Jesus passes by. He's about to leave. He probably won't even notice me. But all Bartimaeus heard was Jesus is passing by, and that was enough for him. This was an opportunity of a lifetime. This was a dream shot. He saw that this opportunity might never return, and he reasoned, Jesus is only passing through Jericho, and he is passing my way. I will scream, and I will shout, and I will cry. I must stop him before he leaves, because this could be my last chance. Unbelief would have said, well, Jesus is surrounded by so many people. He'll never get to me anyways. Why would Jesus notice me, a blind beggar, after all? Bartimaeus would say, so much the greater reason then that I should cry with all my might. You see, this little window of opportunity encouraged Bartimaeus. And so I turn my attention to you and ask, how many opportunities have you had, but you have not come to Christ? How many times has Christ not only passed by you, but stopped, knocked at your door, and stood in your house? He has invited you to come, and you have not come. You tell him a little later, Lord, I'm not ready yet. A little later, Lord, I'm still busy. A little later, Lord, I got some fun to get out of my system. Well, verse 44 tells us that once this blind beggar was sitting there, once he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, without a moment's pause and with a passionate urgency, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, cry out describes a loud, urgent cry that would be heard from a distance. It was this shrieking, piercing scream that was filled with great emotion and desperateness. And by giving the title to Jesus as a Son of David, it was the highest title that you can give, because it was declaring Jesus's royal and kingly nature. He was declaring Jesus to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Bartimaeus knew of no better title to use than Son of David. And so the blind beggar would cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. But people around him tried to shut him up. For whatever reason, the text doesn't say, perhaps they didn't want Jesus to be interrupted. Perhaps they thought that a blind beggar was too insignificant for Jesus to stop and attend to. Perhaps they thought that Bartimaeus' cries were annoying and irritating. John Bunyan tells us that right alongside the wicked gate, Diabolus had built a castle. And from its towers, he used to shoot arrows at all who tried to pass through the gate. And he also had a great fierce dog, and it always snarled and howled, threatening anyone who tried to pass through the gate. And whenever someone knocks on the gates of mercy, they would hear it in hell, and every attempt is made to drive people away. And so the men of Jericho yelled at Bartimaeus, shut up, beggar. Quiet, beggar. Be gone, blind man. You're making a scene. Someone said, remove him. Yet what does the Bible say about him? But he kept crying all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. The more they silenced him, the greater was his cry. Nothing would stop Bartimaeus from pleading his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reach the ears of Jesus. Bartimaeus was pleading for his life with every ounce of breath, with every strength that he could muster up, and with the highest decibel he could project. It didn't matter who was trying to stop him. Bartimaeus was determined, and he was persistent to get Jesus' attention. He was desperate for Jesus. It was now or never with him. Well, I want you to note further that Bartimaeus was not only crying for his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet Jesus, but note how in his cry there throbs the deep sense of need, desperateness, and urgency. He cries for the need of the power of Christ to heal him. And because he's heard of so many people who received his healing touch, he comes with a cry, have mercy on me. And I want you to see here that Bartimaeus is a mirror of what our desires ought to be. Oh, beloved, the deep consciousness of need, of emptiness, of desperateness of our sinful soul lies at the bottom of all true crying to Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have never gone to him, knowing yourself to be a wretched sinner and desperately crying to him to save you, you have never gone to Jesus at all. It is only when I know myself as a wretched sinner that I am driven to cry, Jesus, have mercy on me. And it's only when I look above and see Christ who made an end of all my sin, will I cry, Jesus, have mercy on my soul. And so as we move on through this story, we'll see not only this desperate faith is a mark of true faith, but so is an obedient faith. As Bartimaeus is crying louder and louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And crowds were trying to shut him up. Jesus walking ahead of the disciples. And then the master stops. Jesus stops cold in his tracks. In those short words, Jesus stopped, hangs the fate of Bartimaeus. Oh, this is the favorite part in this story, verse 49. And Jesus stopped. And I want to tell you why. Go back to verse 32. Mark tells us as they were going to Jerusalem, Jesus was walking ahead of them. And look at the next part. And they were amazed. And those who followed were fearful. And why were the 12 so amazed and afraid? Because there was such a determination in the face of Jesus. There was a laser-like focus on his mission to die and suffer for the sins of his people. And Jesus was so determined, so absorbed by that hour that he was walking well ahead of the pack. And the visible determination on Jesus' face and posture filled the disciples with awe as they followed him. And it's as Jesus is so determined and focused on his mission, verse 49 tells us that Jesus stopped. The sound of misery, the sound of hopelessness reaches the compassionate ears of Jesus. It was the desperate, the urgent cry of a blind beggar that arrested Jesus' attention over that of the empty praise of the crowd. Alexander McLaren puts it this way. The cry of righteousness was far sweeter to Christ than the shallow hallelujahs of the crowd. Jesus looks around, and there is Bartimaeus. The Savior can see him, though Bartimaeus cannot see the Savior. Call him here, says Jesus. Oh, beloved, it is one thing for us to call on the Lord. It is entirely something else when he calls on us. True salvation occurs when Jesus calls on us. And now those who had insulted and tried to silence Bartimaeus changed their tone and they said, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And now see how dramatic and decisive Bartimaeus' response was. Verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. The instant Bartimaeus heard the commands, he stopped his crying and shouting. He threw off his old raggedy cloak. And ordinarily, the blind man would be careful to keep his garment within reach because they would have been used to be spread out on the ground to receive money from those who would pass by. But Bartimaeus didn't care if all his money was lost. He flung away his cloak and he leaped up to his feet and he stumbled with the help of others to Jesus. Oh, we ought to pause here and see how eagerly he obeyed the call. The master had but to speak, but to stand still and to command him to be called, and he comes. See, no one needs to pull him by the arm and drag him by the feet to come to Jesus. No, the master had but to speak, and he leaps forward. He threw away everything that was weighing him down, and he is glad to come. Here's the lesson for us. We need to be like Bartimaeus and throw away that old garment of your sin. If you want to come to Jesus, you have to come to him his way. And his way for you is to turn away from your sins. There's a story that I heard about a little boy who got his hand caught in a vase one day. And they tried as hard as they could to get the little boy's hand out of that vase. But they could not. They pulled and they tried. They pulled and they tried. And they couldn't get it out. And so finally, they broke the vase to get the little boy's hand loose. And when they broke the vase, they found a little fist balled up like that. And they opened his little fist, and there was a little nickel in his hand. And some of you today, you're holding on to that old nickel of sin. You need to get rid of it in order to come to Christ. You have to abandon something if you're going to come to Christ to be healed. And so let me ask you, what pet sins are you holding on to? You know what it is. I do not. But certainly there is something that is entangling your legs and keeping you from coming to the Lord. Beloved, the writer of Hebrews says, let us cast aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run, fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is the kind of obedient faith required of you to come to Christ. But note, fourthly, Bartimaeus also had a sincere faith. Bartimaeus is now face to face with the Son of David, Jesus Christ. Jesus now takes him by the hand, and in order to test him so that all the crowd might see what he really wanted, Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, Mark is very intentional in placing the story of Bartimaeus in this point of the Gospels because the account just before repeats the very same question, and that by the sons of thunder, James and John, who came to Jesus. Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" James and John, you remember, said, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." They asked Jesus for personal glory. Now, God asked you that question. It's the, you know, it's the old genie in the bottle thing. It pops and you have one request, right? What would you like? If God said you had one request, what would you like? What would be your answer? "God, that everything that I touch will be turned into gold." Would that be your answer? You can find out a lot about a man's heart by what he prays for and by what he asks for. When he's by the roadside, he's asking for money. He needs to eat. When he begs from the roadside, he begs for comfort. He needs that. He needs a new blanket. He needs a new set of clothes, a place of rest. And Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind Bartimaeus said, "Rabboni, my Lord and my Master, let me recover my sight." That's an amazing statement. Bartimaeus knew exactly what he wanted. You see, he wasn't asking for money. He wasn't asking for fleshly comfort. He wanted a solution to his problem. And he wanted to go right to the crux of the problem. What is the matter of your problem? It's my blindness. And it is that statement, Matthew tells us, that really moved Jesus to compassion to heal him. You know, some of you come to church for the wrong reason. And that's why Jesus will turn you off. You come here for the wrong reason. You come just to be accepted by friends. You come because your parents or someone drag you to church. You come out of tradition. Some of you here came for the wrong reason. You're looking for God for the wrong reason. But the real reason why we should come is for salvation and holiness, is it not? When it came to Bartimaeus, he went right to the issue. "Bartimaeus, what would you want me to do for you?" He says, "Jesus, I don't need pity. I don't need friends. I just need you to give me back my sight," right to the point. And when you come to God for the right reason, he'll never turn you away. You know, I heard a story that back in the last century, there was a group of movement where they were trying to win people to Christ by giving them food. And in China, they were giving them rice. And many were coming to Christ because if you came to Christ, they would receive a bag of rice. And guess what they were called? Rice Christians. That's really true. That's why they came to church, because they were getting these bags of rice. Now follow me. When the rice stopped, what happened? They stopped. And it's unfortunate because that's what brought them and that's what kept them. Listen, you need to come to Christ for the right reason, for the salvation of your soul and the holiness in your life. Aside from that, nothing else matters. And that is exactly how Jesus answers Bartimaeus as Jesus rewards Bartimaeus of his faith. And he says, go, your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you. Verse 52 goes on to tell us, immediately he regained his sight. Jesus tells us that not only did he recover his sight, but he did much more than that. He saved his soul from his sins. In the final analysis, friends, salvation is all of Christ. Jesus called on Bartimaeus out of the multitudes of the clamoring crowds. Jesus came to him, for blind Bartimaeus could not come to Jesus. And the Savior called forth his faith. And when Jesus says, Bartimaeus, your faith has made you well, it was his faith that held on to the rope. But it was the person and power of Christ holding on to the rope above that lifted Bartimaeus out of the horrible pit. And fifth and finally, the fifth distinguishing mark of true faith and disciple of Christ is a loyal faith. When Jesus healed him of his blindness, how Bartimaeus must have leaped with joy in that moment. What excitement, what amazement must have come rushing upon him. And as his eyes were fully open, the very first thing that he saw was the face of his Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And now, what do you imagine that this man would do as his eyes are open? He has a father and a mother. Will he not go see them? He has a brother and sister. Will he not long to be with them? He has friends. Will he not want to converse with them? You see, with his ability to see, will he want to go on a nature walk to see the beautiful creation of the clouds, the sun, the moon, the birds, and the air? No. There is but one thing that the blind, poor man now longs for. It is that he may always see the man who has opened his eyes. The Bible tells us that he began following him on the road. What a beautiful picture this is of a true disciple. Luke tells us that as he was following Christ, he was glorifying God and praising God, and he was loyal to Jesus Christ by following him on the road. And he most likely followed Jesus, witnessing the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, the horror of the crucifixion, and the joy of the resurrection. Talk about getting his eyes full and fixed. And if you had just come on the scene, you would have asked, who is this man whose eyes are glistening and sparkling, who is dancing around with joy and gladness and singing the hallelujah chorus? This is not the blind beggar, is it? It is the poor blind Bartimaeus who once sat by the roadside begging. In the beginning of the story, Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside. And in the end of the story, he is on the road. He was an outsider, and he's now on the inside. He was lost and is found. He was a bystander, but now is disciple of Christ. And having received his sight, he followed Jesus. He didn't go selfishly to his own way where his needs would be met. He began with a desperate need. And he went on to an overflowing gratitude, and he finished with a fierce loyalty. Bartimaeus is the perfect picture of the stages of discipleship. Friends, can I ask you, is this your story? Is this your testimony? Are you filled with gratitude day after day because Christ has shed his blood for you? Are you walking joyfully and following Jesus Christ? My Christian brethren, let us see in these simple words the awesome testimony of a life transformed and touched by the grace of Christ. He began following him on the road. That is the power of Christ and the power of a testimony of someone who has been healed by their sins. He instantly became a follower of Jesus Christ. So we must not be like a dog who returns to his own vomit. But grace received and forgiveness fully pardoned, you and I must devote the whole of our lives to Christ and following him on the road. J.C. Ryle writes, the man who boasts of having an interest in Christ while he does not follow Christ in his life is a miserable self-deceiver and is ruining his own soul. Do not deceive yourselves here tonight. And for you non-believers, I want to tell you, Jesus was passing through Jericho, never to come that way again. He was never to be in Jericho anymore. Had Bartimaeus not responded by crying with faith and with desperateness, he would never had another chance. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by some of you here today. He's passing by. He's passing by. What will you do? Perhaps if you let him pass by today, he may never come your way again, and you will abide in darkness and torment of hell and blackness forever. And so today, if you hear his voice, in other words, now or never, now or never, today on earth, tomorrow in eternity. So today, if you hear his voice, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Christ is passing by you today. Recognize your need of Christ. Plead and beg for his mercy and cry out to him, saying, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Let's pray together. Father in heaven and on earth, Lord, we thank you so much for the amazing grace we have received, for you have opened our eyes from our blindness and dark heart. You have shown us, Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ. You have shown us the wretchedness of our sin, and you have given us the faith we need to place upon your Son. Thank you so much, Lord, for this gift of salvation. Lord, as we see Bartimaeus' life, Father, we pray, O Lord, and we confess of our waywardness, of our sins, and how we have received a marvelous riches of grace. But Lord, we have backslided from you. We have not been devoted to you as we ought. Father, we pray, O Lord, that we would walk in your truth, that we would walk in the path of Jesus. We would see, long to see only his face and his face alone. And Father, we desperately pray for those who are lost here today, that have you made your message clear that Jesus is passing by. Lord, I pray that they would take this opportunity to desperately cry out and beg for mercy as Bartimaeus did, so that salvation may come to their house. We pray this in your Son's most precious name. Amen.